From the land, the Grand Theater of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of September 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net, and then we'll turn our attention to the charts, the technical side of the trade, as there are times when I think that can be very valuable in potentially giving you guidance as to where the markets are headed. Brian Split from agmarket.net will be here to discuss his view of the charts. So stay with us for this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online, on demand, anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at 405 and three quarters, 7 lower. The March down 6.5 at 424 and a quarter. And May corn at 435 and a quarter, down 6.25. November beans, 3/4 lower, $10.13 and a quarter a bushel. The January, $10.31 and a quarter, down 3/4. And the March contract, 1/2 lower, $10.45 and a quarter. Bean meal up $2. The bean oil for the day finished 76 cents higher. Wheat futures soft red in the December, down 10 and a quarter at 565 and a half, and the hard red down 14 cents. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net is now here. Hi, Matt. Thank you much. I take it you're in the field this afternoon.
Yeah, we are actually. We started on Monday. We waited around a little bit last week because we just didn't think our corn would quite test. The only really good drying deal that I knew of was, at ADM Decatur, they were doing free drying, shrink only. That's something they've done the last few years. Surprised they were doing it this year, but we were going to try it. We just couldn't get our corn down to the level that they wanted it. So we thought we'd just sit and wait. And so started on some beans on Monday and cut beans for a couple of days, and then we got into some corn here on Thursday. So, getting a good start anyway.
Yeah, I made a trip all the way down to Vianna, so all the way to the tip of Illinois on Tuesday night. I didn't see much because it was dark, but on the way back yesterday, I was surprised by how little the further south you had gotten that was actually done, and I suppose it dawned on me at some point that their spring was awfully wet and they were late. And by done, I mean they hadn't started and didn't look like they were going to start. There were green soybeans still, and not even thinking about coloring at this point. So that surprised me a little bit. I was thinking that most everybody would be going by the end of this week. That doesn't feel like that's the case. Have you talked to enough people to know whether folks are really getting started or not?
You know what it all depends on, of course, Todd, is did it get put in the ground in April, first of all? Second of all, of course, what the maturity is. And so what we're finding is that April planted earlier group threes up to 3-5 are getting in the neighborhood of being ready to go. And that's pretty much what we found. Now, we've gotten into some beans that had some leaves on them, actually, that didn't look like they'd test. And, you know, they were testing 11-12%. So, you know, I think that we run into this some years. We didn't get that rain last week. I think we were all hoping to get maybe to even these beans out a little bit. On the corn side, boy, it sure is holding on. We've got April planted corn that we're trying today, and it's still running about 21 or 2%. And I will say it's fantastic corn. It's healthy. It looks good. It just doesn't want to dry down maybe quite as quickly as we'd like it to, but I think that's a good sign of the health of the plant. So we don't really have any complaints here.
Looks like the weather's going to stay warm. That'll turn things fairly quickly. Eventually, at this point, should be a good fall. And if that's the case, and it doesn't, and we get rain from time to time to give farmers a break in the field, what are your expectations of the market, given how you think the fall will lay out this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So, like, for instance, today was the first time that we'd really seen this corn market kind of go down and stay down for the day. You know, after the report there last week, we went down 6-7 cents, you know, and then we turned around and found support. It seems like every sell-off we've seen here lately, we found a little bit of support. But today, you know, you close this market down 6 cents or so, and there's no doubt that there's some hedge pressure coming in. First of all, it's pretty light for the most part. But the other thing, there's a lot of talk about the fact that China is just not buying U.S. corn. I mean, you know, they really ramped up their buying of Brazilian corn here this year. Of course, they entered agreements where they could do so. But bottom line is, it's been very disappointing as U.S. corn's been extremely competitive on the world market to see them not stepping in and buying. And there was an article written that I think a lot of folks kind of looked at over the last day or so, just kind of highlighting that. And I think it's a combination of those things and then your early yield reports. Of course, early corn is probably going to be some of the more impressive yields, I would assume, just due to the fact we have drier bias August for a lot of folks. I do think that the corn, for the most part, had enough moisture to get to the finish line in most cases, though. So I don't think you're going to see any train wrecks there. But I do think soybeans are definitely going to see a little bit of a difference, from early yields to late.
Are you concerned that the hedge pressure will begin to build in the marketplace and corn, even if it has enough fundamental push, for instance, to try to lift itself in the futures markets, that it just won't be able to pull it off?
The thing about it, Todd, if you had asked me this morning before the market was really moving a lot lower, I would have told you it just doesn't seem like these guys want to sell this market and continue to sell it. Seems like you keep finding some support for this market. But then you turn around today, of course, and you see what kind of hedge pressure you saw. You see what kind of pressure on the market that we've seen. And there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to have a tough time, especially as you get into the middle of harvest. Now, a lot of times we get a little bit of support out of this October crop insurance average, especially when we're very far away from the spring price. I don't know that we'll be able to expect that this year. If you do get it, as far as the board's concerned, my biggest concern, is that you're going to see basis widen out substantially. So we see a lot of areas right now talking about basically shutting down early, already have too much corn on hand. That's a conversation usually for mid-October and not the first couple weeks of harvest. And I'm just afraid logistically we're going to have a lot of major challenges, which is most likely going to mean basis could widen substantially.
Up next, we'll talk with your colleague, Brian Split, about the charts, corn, soybeans, bean meal as well. For the corn chart, he's pretty adamant that corn needs to make it through 416. That's a dime away at this point. And time is limited, I suppose, to that stocks report and the hedge pressure that's coming in. How important is that mark for you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that Brian, in my opinion, is one of the best technical analysts in the business. We watch and listen to what he talks about pretty closely. But from my vantage point, if you're going to try to get through a number like that, you got to ask yourself, what might be ahead of us here? And I think the biggest issue you've got with the quarterly stocks report is, given all this corn that we kind of brought into this market here, it's pretty concerning that we could have, a bearish stocks report. It would be surprising to me if we didn't. There's no doubt that usage was pretty strong. But the reality, of course, is that there was a ton of old crops corn sitting around. I mean, we've talked to growers that, have had to quit bringing corn into the elevator that they're harvesting because the old corn was overwhelming the system. And so that's not a conversation that we typically have. So my opinion is that, you're running out of time to be able to get technically into that level where you kind of run away from some of these moving averages that we've struggled so hard to get above, like the 50-day. Bottom line for me moving forward is you're just going to have a lot of factors working against you. One thing that could help, though, Todd, because I want to talk about something good, interest rate cut could mean that this dollar really struggles to rally. You look around at some of these other indicators from a commodity standpoint, you see such strength in this gold market that's recently made a new all-time high. Maybe there will be some money flow out of equities into some of the commodities, which is a feature we oftentimes see, especially whenever this dollar gets worked over. And there's a chance you could see that.
Thanks much, Matt, and be safe and have fun on the combine.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks a lot, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. His colleague, chartist Brian Split, is up next. Brian Split from AgMarket.net is now here. He's a technician with the company. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you taking some time. It's been a while since you and I've talked. However, you're a chartist and a good one, and I'm hoping you can help walk through where the charts are on corn and soybeans, particularly at this point. Do you want to talk about one crop or the other first and choose and go ahead and get started, and I'll ask some questions.
Yeah, let's focus on December corn. And, what I would point out, if anybody had a chart pulled up where they could almost follow along, is one of the primary lines that I have drawn on this chart is from lows that were made in May of 2023 to lows that were made in February of this year. So those were essentially our spring lows last year to our late winter lows this year. And that line has been very important. We took that lower end channel line out the day of the June quarterly stock report, and we have not been back above that line since. Now, we had some highs 2 days after that stocks and acreage report in early July. That is the high for the month of July. And if you draw the high from that to the mid-July highs, it comes right across, and it touches the highs that we had yesterday and last week, or I should say, last week. And so that's really been kind of a very decisive line where it took the acres and the stocks to push through the lower end of that channel, which had been holding for quite some time. Now, in the meantime, the high for the month of September is 416, and it's right against that line that we just referenced. And that was a reversal day, so it went up, hit the trend line, and then closed lower and closed below the previous day's low. And so we haven't been able to take that day's high out since. So this market is in the process of consolidating right now, and it's really in the middle of its trading range. So you have that 416 high, and then you have that 397 low that was made the day of the September WASDE report, and we're just smack dab in the middle of that trading range at this point. If we can get back over that 416 high, that to me would confirm a bottom. Then that would put us back into that overall channel that we were in for over a year, and that should create some additional short covering from the funds. However, if we can't get through there, we have to be aware of the uptrend that's been established below the market. And this is actually something that we haven't been able to have this whole way down. And what I mean by this is when we were breaking from the May highs, every time we made a new low and bounced and rolled over, we took out that previous low. And so, or at least matched it, right? So, you know, all the way through end of June into July into mid-August, you know, we had several new lows that were made and several bounces, but every time we rolled over from that bounce, we went and made a new low or at least tested the previous low. So what's new here in corn is that we made those August lows and bounced, and then we made another low afterwards, but that low was higher than the August low. So we have the beginning of an uptrend, and we haven't been able to say that since this market rolled over in May. That uptrend is going to come in today at about 402, so about 4 cents lower, the 20 days at 403, the 50 days at 404. So I think anybody that, if the fund is going to continue to cover shorts, if end users are going to come in here and start to buy, they're likely going to buy that moving average cluster and that uptrend, risking below the report day low of 397. If we do take that low out, that would then suggest we're going to go take a look at contract lows, if not make new lows afterwards. So this market has been consolidating. It's going to have to make up its mind pretty soon because, again, the difference between where the downtrend and the uptrend come in is going to get smaller and smaller every day. And eventually it's going to get squeezed out of this pattern, and it's going to have to pick a direction. So above 416 looks very good. We'll start talking some bigger picture retracement objectives from the May high to the August low. 445 would be a major objective above the market. 440 to 445, that's about your 50% retracement, and that would be a revisit of the February lows. We got to get through 416 to even consider talking about those numbers. Other side of $4 likely leads to a test of contract lows, if not new lows. So we're really waiting for direction right now in corn.
And it'll come soon, within, what, the next 2 weeks?
Well, we do have a quarterly stock report right at the end of the month, and I would venture to say it's going to be very difficult for corn to continue to trade in this tight range after those numbers are released. And that will likely dictate whether the funds continue to cover shorts as we get into the beginning of the fourth quarter, or if they decide, hey, we've covered a bunch, we've got a big harvest in front of us, the stocks report maybe suggests we should still be short, And so that report may be the key to whether the funds decide to pile back into shorts and bring this thing back down going into and through harvest, or if they decide that something's happened here and we need to get out of more shorts at the beginning of the new quarter.
So the short version is, if it breaks above, well, it'll be lower than 416, but it'll have to break above the trend line, and then through 416 after that, right?
You got to make it 416. The trend line is one thing, but I think you have to take out that reversal, the high of that reversal day, in order to warrant additional short covering.
Now talk to me about the soybean chart.
You know, very similar in the respect that we've come off the lows nicely in beans, just like we have corn. But, you know, here's the deal. If you look at the settlement price the first day of September, and so that was actually, what was it, September 3rd? The settlement price that day was 10.12. As you and I are talking right now, it is 10.14. So here we are, September 19th. We're two-thirds of the way through the month, and this market gone anywhere all month long. Again, that is the definition of consolidation. And much the same in corn, in the soybean market, we had a reversal the same day as corn. That was on September 6th. So both instances, September 6th is the high for the month for corn and for soybeans. And until we get through and make some new highs above these current September highs, we're consolidating looking for direction. We do have a little bit of an uptrend from last week's lows. So last week's lows were 9.95 and 3/4 on Tuesday, 9.95 and a half on a Wednesday, 9.97 and a quarter on a Thursday. That was also the day of the report. And we've been holding the uptrend from those couple of days, and we were testing that uptrend on Monday and Tuesday of this week, holding it. The 20-day moving average is right at $10, right? So if we see the other side of last week's lows get back below 9.95, we're going to go looking at the contract lows again, possibly making new lows. But if this market can again push through that September 6th high, make a new high for the month, then it's going to make this look like a bull pennant. And depending on what day it is that it breaks out of the pennant formation, that'll dictate to an extent what type of upside objective that we're looking at. But I think 10.92 and 3/4 is the 50% retracement of the whole break from the May high to the August low. 10.90 and 3/4 to me is what would be the upside objective if we break out to the upside of this wedge formation that we're in. So again, we're waiting for direction right now. In lieu of breaking out to the upside and it takes out 9.95, we're going 9.55 again and looking at lows. So both corn and beans have been consolidating for quite some time. If anybody owns options in either puts or calls, you're probably noticing that your option values are eroding. That is a product of the market not going anywhere. That is also a product of the volatility value in these options trading at 6 months lows at this point. So from a marketing perspective, what I can tell you is now is not a good time to sell options. Right, you want to sell options when the volatility value is at a high level. You don't want to sell options when volatility is at a low level. So for those of you that may be, you know, thinking about, hey, I want to, you know, buy a put to cover my bushels to the downside. Maybe I want to sell a call to help pay for that put. Probably not worth it to sell that call. They're just not offering much premium to me to make it worth selling these options. Because once you sell that option, it does put you in a marginable position. And if the market becomes a little bit more active, a little bit more volatile, just that volatility value in the option is going to make is going to put you on margin calls. So I don't think this is the time right now to be selling options in a bigger picture perspective.
Do the products for the beans give you any insight on what direction things might go?
Well, so there's one product that's catching my eye, and this is what gives me a little bit of a feeling like, hey, you know, maybe the beans could go a little bit higher because of what the meal chart looks like. And again, this is a potential pattern. It hasn't confirmed it yet. But when I look at the December soy meal, it looks like we could be forming a what you would call a head and shoulder bottom. And so we made some highs on August 6th, and then we made some highs on September 6th. Okay. those two highs would be your neckline of the pattern. And generally, they're up in that, you know, 333 to 335 zone. You've got a left shoulder that's down around 315. You've got a right shoulder that's down around 316. And if we could get through 335, and by the way, the 100-day moving average is also lined up right there. So it's very good resistance. But if you could clear that, that would validate the pattern, and then that would send this meal market all the way back up to, well, the measurements suggest about 367 a ton. So that would be about a $30 push higher from where the neckline sits. And so if the meal market does validate that pattern, I would have to think that the soybean market itself is going to go up with it. So again, these are all potential patterns. We could potentially break out in corn above 416. We could potentially break out in beans above 1031. We could potentially break out in meal above 430 or 335. So these are things to watch out for. We just haven't done it yet. And until we do, these are resistance levels. So, you know, from a timing perspective, I think there's some decisions that producers have, and it's what can I store and what has to be sold in the short term out of the field. And until we get through these major resistance levels, when we're up near them, if you have some short-term selling that you need to do, these may be areas to really consider making some of those short-term sales of bushels that need to be sold out of the field. And then maybe look for a way to have some paper ownership in a call type of a position where your downside risk is eliminated. You have some upside mobility. And by the way, you know, once you cut off the interest on that money, I'd rather pay interest on the value of a call than the interest on the nominal value of my bushels. So I think there's some upside potential if this market can get through some of these key areas. And I think it boils down to how long does Brazil stay dry, or do they start getting rain in order to plant while we're harvesting? That would bring in some pressure. And how much more does China want to buy? China was a very big buyer of beans this week on the weekly sales, almost a million tons out of the 1.7 and some change that were sold total. So our export demand for soybeans lately has been rather robust, and I think that's what's been, in conjunction with Brazil dryness, been keeping this market steady as we're seeing new bushels hit the market.
Thank you much. I appreciate it, Brian.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
If you'd like to review what Brian Split had to say, you can do that again right now on our website. Look for the Closing Market Report at willag.org, willag.org. It's there on the homepage. Also in the podcast link there. It'll stay in the podcast link for about 6 days, so if you lose it, you can go find it. I'll use it again tomorrow for those of you who do not have easy access to the internet during our Commodity Week program. So many of you will hear it in its entirety again on the home station and on these radio stations over the weekend. That's Brian Split. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.